Parshas Vayigash is the story of the Great Reunion. And here in the middle of the second reading, we come across what is arguably some of the most dramatic words in the entire Torah. Yosef and his brothers are facing off. Yehuda comes with tremendous strength and conviction. He's not going to back down. Chapter 45 of the book of Genesis, Perek Mem Hei, middle of Sheni of Vayigash, Velo Yochel Yosef Lehisapek. Yosef could no longer restrain himself. L'chol ha'nitzovim ola, for all of those who were standing there. Vayikra, and he called out, Ha'itziyu chol ish me'oloi, let every person be taken away from before me. And the Torah says, in fact, this happened. V'le omad ish itoi, nobody was there. Nobody was standing with Yosef. Behisvada Yosef el Echov. When our patriarch of sorts, Joseph, confessed to his brothers. And he said, I'm Joseph. So, V'le yochel Yosef lehisapik. He couldn't control himself. The Targum Yenison Ben Azil says he couldn't restrain his tears. He's about, the dam of tears is going to burst. He didn't have time to run out this time. The Medrash HaChavis is even more blunt. It says he couldn't control himself. The bechi, the weeping, the tears was overcoming him because of the rachmanis that he felt for his brothers. The problem, of course, is it doesn't just say v'le'yochel Yosef lehisapek. It says v'le'yochel Yosef lehisapek l'chol ha'nitzavim alav. He couldn't restrain himself for or because of all those who stood there. But really, those who stood there are but incidental. They're not part of the story. They're like extras in the movie. It's really about Yosef and his brothers. So why is it that the Torah says he couldn't control himself l'chol for all of those who stood by? So Rashi answers this question very simply. He says, that means to say, l'hoye yochel lisbel sheyiyu mitzriyim nitzavim alav. Yosef couldn't stand the idea. It's less about not being able to restrain himself, because Yosef is a masterful actor. He's restrained himself up to this point. Why couldn't he restrain himself a little longer? He probably could have. But he couldn't stand, is more like it. He couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand it that the Egyptians should be standing there. V'shoymim she'echav mizbayshin v'hivadilahem. And they would hear how his brothers would experience tremendous shame at realizing this is the Joseph they sold. So Yosef couldn't stand it. Not that he couldn't control himself. He can control himself. He's a full mastery. He's in full control of himself. He couldn't stand it that they should hear. And that's why Vayikra, he calls out, doesn't say Vayemer, doesn't say he says. Ramban says that Vayikra means in a loud voice, a voice that was tinged with anger. He screamed, get out, everybody out. Because he couldn't stand, they should be there, because he wanted his brothers to be embarrassed. And this was an embarrassment, Ramban says, on both sides. Embarrassing for him that he was sold as a slave by his own brothers. Embarrassing for his brothers, they had sold him as a slave. He didn't want the sordid details getting out. It's nobody's business when Jewish people are fighting, when the family's fighting. You don't have to air the family's dirty laundry outside. Every ordinary Egyptian had to be talking about this. Joseph had a fight with his brothers, and they sold out on one another. He couldn't stand that. So therefore, he calls out. Everybody should get out. So if nobody's there, how do you understand the next verse? Vayiten eskoili bivchi. Then Yosef allows his voice to echo forth in a cry, and he weeps. Vayishmu Mitzrayim, all of Egypt hears. Vayifna Beis Pari, the whole house of the Pharaoh hears. So he just sent everybody out. He just closed the doors, and everybody hears. What does this mean? So Rashi says that when it says Beis Pari here, it's not to be understood literally. It means Beis Seishal Pari, means the household of Pari, the people. Pari Stafford, Kaloimer Avodov, his servants, B'nei Beisai, the members of his household. Ein ze loshen bayis mamash, Rashi says. This should not be construed as literally the description of a home, a house, the contours of a building or a structure. This is euphemistically speaking. Ela k'moy Beis Yisrael, like we say, the house of Israel. What house is there? Beis Yehuda, the house of Judah. It's not a house. It's stated proverbially. So this is what Yosef says. And then Yosef says a third thing. First of all, he says, everybody get out. The second thing you should know is everybody heard about this. The news spread like wildfire. This was faster than Twitter. Still, word of mouth is still the best way. Vayomer Yosef Alechav, Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef. I am Yosef. Ha'oid Avichai, is my father still alive? V'le'yochlu Echav La'anis, I say. His brothers couldn't answer. Because, can you hallow me upon him? They were overwhelmed with shame. They were totally overwhelmed before him. Shame before him. They shrank away from him. And we see that they shrank away or began to back off because Yosef says in the next pasuk, "Vayemer Yosef Alechav." He says to his brothers, "Geshuno Eli, come closer." And only after he says that, "Vaygosha," they drew closer. "Vayemer," he said again, "Ani Yosef Achichem, I am Yosef, your brother. Asher Machartem Meisim Mitzrayim, that you sold me down into Mitzrayim." And he says, "Va'ata Al Tiyatzfu, don't be miserable, don't be sad, don't be depressed about this. Ayicha Beinechem, do not feel a sense of great despondency, depression, or fury. Ki Machartem Meisim, that you sent me." Here, this is all God's plan. God sent me before you. It wasn't even your idea. Forget what you did. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is, I was sent here on a mission. I'm a man on a mission. And then he goes on to describe the famine that was and the famine that will yet be. And so he says, you got to bring the family down here so that I can keep everybody alive. Now this has got to be one of the strangest questions in the entire narrative of the Chumash. Yosef has asked his brothers multiple times about Yaakov. And now he says, Ani Yosef, ha'oid avichai. Could he not think of anything more profound or intelligent to say? Is my father still alive? I'm sure Yosef rehearsed this to himself and thought about what were the first words he would say to his brother again and again and again over these few months. He must have. He must have been planning this for years. He knew this was going to happen. That was the dream. It was the vision. They would come down and prostrate themselves. So was that the smartest thing he could say? Is my father still alive? What's he saying? So the Torah says that it was just a pretext. It was a way to get in to start the conversation. Let's talk about something that we both have a common interest in. You care about our father. I care about our father. So I'm just talking about something we both are interested in. Let's talk about our father. Let's find common ground. What should I talk about? What's gone on for the last 20 years? You haven't been with me. I haven't been with you. We have nothing else in common. Talk about your families. I don't know who your families are. My family. You don't know my family. So the one thing they have in common is Yaakov. That's what the Torah says. The Torah further suggests that there was actually something fresh in his question here. Up until now, he had feigned a disinterest. Oh, how's your father? He's still alive? Okay, fine. Now Yosef wants to know about his health. How's he doing? He's alive. Is he in a wheelchair? Is he barely functioning? Is he awake? Is he alive? Does he know what's going on? As the Maharik is also a Rishon, he says, when Yaakov, is the question if Yaakov's alive, the real question is his prophetic spirit still with him? That's what Yosef wanted to know. Is he just a broken old man, or is he still Yaakov Avinu? Is the presence of Hashem with him? And indeed, how do we know this? Because we see later, it says when Yosef sent the wagons, and he encoded a special message to Yaakov that he had not forgotten the Torah that he studied. And so Yaakov saw the wagons, Fatchi Ruach Yankev Avim. His spirit lived again. Because he said, ah, my son didn't forget the Torah. He's still a Torah Jew. When he saw he's still a Torah Jew, he came back to life. So we see that in the context of these verses, life does not simply mean that there's a beating heart or lungs that are drawing a breath. But life means, it's proverbially stated, life means, is he alive? What does he live? Is the presence of Hashem with him? And that wasn't such a simple question that Yosef asked, because actually the prophecy had departed from Yaakov Avinu. Only in the last few weeks, few months, was nitznitza by Ruach HaKodesh, Yaakov had a certain intuition. He said to the sons, go, I see, I hope. But he didn't know exactly what this was. And this is what Yosef was asking for. Is he still a prophet? Is Hashem's spirit still upon him? Rashi, interestingly, doesn't say anything. All he explains is the words Nivhalu. He says, they shrank from before him. Nehabusha. They were just embarrassed. Rashi doesn't explain this question. Why? Because in Pshuta Shal Mikra, any which way you're going to construe it is fine. However you want to say it. He asked about his health. He asked about his wealth. He asked about his prophecy. He asked whatever it is. He got into a conversation. It's not important. In Pshuta Shal Mikra, Rashi says you can leave this open. It's not hard to understand that Yosef has to open a conversation with his brothers, and whichever way that strikes you, I'm not going to meddle. But the Rebbe sets out to explain the business of this question, Ha'oid Avichai. On page Reishai and Zion and Simon Hay in the Beauty of Chumash, the Rebbe says, many of the Mefarshim, indeed, Rashi not, but Abarbanel and many others, they're like incredulous about this. That's the best question you can come up with. That's the profoundest thing you could say at a time like this. What's going on over here? So here's the Rebbe's answer. Venita Leimer, the Rebbe suggests, and this is very much in keeping and along the lines of the Sefarno and the Tzir HaMor, Shedivre Yosef, Ha'idavichai, Enam Sha'ila. They're not actually a question that seeks a response. Sometimes you ask a question, you're looking for an answer. Yosef doesn't seek an answer over here. Ela Tmiya. Yosef's expressing his astonishment. This is what we call not a literal question, but a proverbial question. What's the proverbial question? The question is as follows. And the pasuk that says that Yaakov couldn't accept condolences, never gave up on finding Yosef. Mefarash Rashi explains, he never gave up. He never found condolences. He never found comfort. Everybody gets bereaved. They find comfort eventually. So Rashi says, Ein Odom Mekabel Tanchumen Alachai. You can never receive condolences for one who's still alive. V'savur Shemes, even though you think he's dead. If he's really still alive, you will not find condolences. You will not be able to find comfort. It will be a fresh wound. Sha'al HaMeis Nigzera Gzeda She'ishtakach Min Alev. Hashem made a decree that once people pass in this world, that the pain should diminish and they should be forgotten. That's the way it's the decree Hashem made. Wouldn't be able to function otherwise. But V'loy Alachai. Hashem never made that decree upon the living. And therefore, truth be told, the idea of losing a living one is worse than losing one who's passed on. One who's passed on is passed on. Passed on has left this world. There's a nature of the pain diminishes and slowly becomes forgotten from us. Becomes a distant memory. But not when they're still alive. And because of this, Rashi explains this is why Yaakov continued to mourn. 21 years later, still, how can he still be mourning? Who mourns for 21 years? You get over it. Shiva, Shloishim, a year. How could he mourn more? How much could he mourn? He can never stop mourning because Hamais Mishtakach Min Alev. But there's not a mace. Incidentally, it's not directly linked, but there's our studies that show that divorce is more painful for children than losing a parent. Why? Because the pain is ongoing. It's like as one person once described it to me, it's like having a scab, and just when the scab is about to heal, the band-aid gets torn off again. It like starts all over again because it's bickering and there's fighting and endless. It's very traumatic for children. It's the reason why many people have all kinds of issues today, because it's so common. A death is a death. It's final. You deal with it. People have an easier time dealing with something that's final than something which is not. It's like still a situation. And because of this, Yaakov simply couldn't find any kind of breathing. They couldn't find comfort. So what's Yosef saying then? Let me suggest, against that background, Zuhi mashmo'usam shodivre Yosef lechav. This is the deeper intimation. This is a deeper message. This is the deeper meaning behind Yaakov's words. Ani Yosef, he says, I'm Yosef. Chai v'kayim, I know I'm alive. I know I'm alive. My question is, that's what I'm, how is he alive? If I'm alive, how is he alive? If I wasn't alive, I know I'd be alive. He would have got him moved on. But if I'm alive, how did he move on? How could he still move? How didn't he become overwhelmed from the pain? Mikivan shani b'chayim, understand the ani Yosef ha'oida v'chayim, precisely because ani Yosef. That's the question. Ani b'chayim ve'en kan gzeres hashikcha min alev. There's no idea that Hashem decreed that it should be forgotten. Nimsa shabemeshach esrim v'shtayim shanim, for 22 years or two from continuously. His abel alay avi. He's sitting shiv for 22 years. And he's a tzar bilti nitvas. This is a pain that's impossible to suffer. How does he stay alive? This guy once finished by a doctor's office. He finished his examination. He said, doctor, how do I stand? The doctor says, that's what I'm trying to figure out. How is he still standing, says Yosef? How is he still alive? Kate said, Yitochen sheyankev nisher b'chayim. How could he still remain alive? The pain should kill anybody. B'meshach kol hashanam alolu. It's all these years. Techshu seivol tzar shekozeh. And he's suffering such pain. How? T'miya zu mazbira es hemshach divrei Yosef. Once we explain this, that Yosef's incredulous question, he's like, what is going on here? How did he manage to stay alive? This explains the continuation of Yosef's words. What's the next words he says? First, he wants to know,
Hoida v'chai. Next thing he says, Maru va'alu alavi. Run fast, run as quickly as you could. Hey, dude, it's been 22 years, you know? It's going to take another 2 hours. It's going to be fine. V'omar te'melav, no, he says, don't waste even a moment. You tell him, Koy omar bincha Yosef, this is what your son Yosef said. Somani elikim lo'odin l'chol mitzayim. God has placed me as a master for all of Egypt. Redei elai, come down. Al tamay, don't waste one more minute. Don't remain one more moment. What's going to don't remain? Yosef, now you got all of a sudden into a rush. You're able to stand by quietly for 22 years. At least 9 years that you're the second most powerful man in the world. You could do whatever you want. And you could stand by and wait. And now all of a sudden, don't waste a second. Come run. Tell him not to stand still. Doesn't make any sense. But the way we explained it, it makes perfect sense. After so much pain that lingered on and was intense for so long, every additional moment of this pain is sekhonis nefashis. This literally, his life is in danger. Bring him as quickly as possible. For heaven's sake, for his health, for his life. So that you can remove from him the pain, the anguish, the suffering, the mourning. The hegdem hachi efshri. The Rebbe says in the last 30 seconds here, in the continuation of the Sikha, the Rebbe says, you see, Yosef already is answering another question. If you understand this, if you're so worried about your father's health, then for heaven's sake, where have you been? Why have you been here quiet? And the answer is, Yosef says no less than three times, L'michya shlochani aleichem. He says, God sent me on a mission. V'yishalcheni aleichem lefneichem. God sent me before you. And then a third time he says, Lo atem shalachtem v'yishiheni. You didn't send me. Kiho aleichem. Yosef explains, I had no choice. I was here on a mission. I saw and understood in this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me a mission. So I'm on a mission. A mission God gave me. But now the mission's over. I needed to put the family back together. I needed to prepare everything so we can go down into Mitzrayim. And then the future has to unfold. But at this point, the mission's come to an end. Bring him down as quickly as possible. And that, as we say, is the rest of the story.
I don't buy it.
Don't buy it?